Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. Time to begin this morning's panel discussion on topics in the news. We love to hear from you. The email box is open and ready. It's roundtable@wamc.org. Roundtable@wamc.org. You can also comment on our webpage or our Facebook page or tweet us at WAMC Roundtable. Today we're joined by our panel, WAMC's Alan Chartok and political consultant Libby Post. Good morning, all.
Good morning.
You know, it occurred to me on the way in here to the studio, can two people be a panel, or do you need three? Is it two just a couple of people spouting off?
Or? Well, it depends whether we count you or not.
Well, I'm the host. I'm not on the panel. You're the panel.
No.
So it's not really.
You keep saying things,
Ray. You know what he says. You know how he handles it, right,
Libby? Self-effacing.
No.
But you know how he handles it. He says things like, some would say. But when he says some would say, it's almost always him.
That's not true, and that's not my point at all. You're the
so
panel.
You're really on
and
the panel.
And it's on
right?
you. So yes. Here we go. Roundtable@wamc.org. Alan and Libby, nice to have you both here.
Some would say so.
Hope you had a great weekend.
Just some.
Well, interesting things to discuss today for the coming 2014. But let's start with some sobering and frightening news out of Russia. We had a deadly suicide bombing at a railroad station in southern Russia Sunday. Another one this morning. Now we're 6 weeks away from the Winter Olympics. And President Vladimir Putin's government has worked to protect the Olympics, and this is from the New York Times, with some of the most extensive security measures ever imposed for the Games. But the bombings underscore the threat of the country is facing from radical Islamic insurgency. And, you know, Putin is in a tough spot here. He's seen by a lot in the West as overly dictatorial. And yet you have to protect all of these people coming from all over the country and all the spectators from a very dangerous situation.
All over the world.
Yeah.
Oh, we could have another Munich on our hands in a very real way. And I'm not just saying, not necessarily that they're going to take the Israelis hostage, but I think that, you know, there could be some major incidences here. And, you know, what's funny is this is the one instance where we want Putin's fascism to really work,
to keep people
under control.
Well, I don't know if his style of leadership, Libby, doesn't create this kind of voice. And both of them, Ray, correct me if I'm wrong, and I know you will, or one of our listeners will, both of them were suicide bombings.
Yes. Yeah.
So how are you going to stop a suicide bomb?
It's true. You can't.
You can't. If somebody's going to kill themselves in the name of whatever they are protesting, and I don't know that we know what that is yet. Do we? We know that there's still the Chechen residue there, and we know that Putin has his own... His own negatives with some major subgroups of the society, let's leave it there, that are identical with those that are faced by the United States.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the Al-Qaeda types and some of the others are unhappy with him. So, and always have been. And look, you don't have to go back any further than Afghanistan, you know, to see it.
I think that points out one of the problems, and it's pointed out toward the end of this New York Times article entitled Bombings Jolt Russia, Raising Olympic Fears. I guess it's from late yesterday. And getting to what you said, Alan, one of the complicating factors is the U.S. doesn't have direct a significant portion of our intelligence toward groups that mount attacks in Russia. So there is a crossover between enemies, which you might call enemies in common, but not as much as you might think.
Well, the problem is, as we have seen with Snowden and Assange and all the others, is we have no idea what the level of cooperation is. I would be very surprised if there isn't the sharing of intelligence with some of these groups between the Russians and, you know, in the United States. And, you know, the old joke when we were all growing up is that military intelligence was an oxymoron.
Right.
But I think that my faith in our intelligence gathering ability is not great. You know, we have the NSA, we have all of these people saying, we have to do this in order to protect you. But again, how do you protect somebody, a woman in this case, I think, walking onto a bus with and just blowing everybody to smithereens? It's a terrible situation.
It is. And this is not a situation where the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
No.
None of these people are friends. And I think that, you know, what I said before is really about cracking down for those 2 weeks that people are in Sochi and all over Russia celebrating the Olympics. And
how do you crack down?
I know. It's impossible.
How do you crack down against some woman in long, flowing robes walking onto a bus?
And I wouldn't be surprised if something happened.
And really the enormous complexity of an event that takes place over many venues over 2 weeks.
Right.
It's quite different than protecting the Super Bowl, which is also of paramount concern on our side of the ocean. You know, the Super Bowl is one day. It's 4 hours. The lead up is, you know, people show up 6-8 hours beforehand.
Sure.
But it's in one spot. It's not all over.
Yeah. But I'm interested only as a hypothesis, as to whether or not the style of governance in a country leads to the repression in some cases of, you know, political discourse, and therefore there is
an increase. This is what happens.
There are certainly examples, Boston and others, in which we have seen real craziness happen. But I want to ask you a question, Raymond, if I may. If somebody handed you right now a first class ticket to Russia to the event, would you go?
Absolutely not. I wouldn't go anyway, even if it was nearby. If it was in Lake Placid, I might take a jaunt up, but no, that's much too much crowd for the likes of me.
Because of the potential of the...
No, not at all. If somebody handed me a ticket to the Super Bowl, I would go, but that is not... No, I just don't like big crowds unless it's really important to me.
Yeah.
That's not...
See, I wouldn't go.
Well, I
for the reason I just said, I wouldn't go.
You're scared.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go for that, and I wouldn't go for some other reasons as well.
Well, yes, Libby.
To Russia,
we all
you mean?
Know.
Yes.
Well, we all know what the attitude of gays are.
Right, right. What they're doing to the gays in Russia is just abominable. And that will be also a challenge for Putin, because I am sure, I mean, Billie Jean King's going. I'm sure that there's going to be a show of solidarity across lots of nations for LGBT people in Russia as well as the LGBT athletes, and it'll be interesting to see how Russia deals with that.
That's such an interesting point, because if we think about the history of, quote, modern Olympics, what's the one that always comes to mind? 36, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is Hitler.
Right.
And 72 for Jesse Owens.
Jesse Owens actually all those people
did it.
Who were there.
Right.
Who won basically giving the bird to Hitler during that.
And I've never said to boycott the games. I think we should go and we should win, and we should wear rainbow uniforms, and we should be proud of who we are, and our allies should stand with us.
You know, though, the new events in Russia now, that will be very low on the radar. Fear trumps oppression 99 times, and so now we know what the folk, and Putin probably is thanking his lucky stars for that.
Well, it's all according which comes first, the chicken or the egg. Does fear come first and then oppression, or oppression and then fear?
Fear of death by a suicide bomber, I think, trumps that.
I think that you will still see people standing up.
Absolutely.
Right. You'll still see people standing up, because some people will think this isn't targeted at me, and so they're not going to think that this could possibly happen at the Olympics.
Well, we do see a certain amount of in your face to him. I mean, the women and the riot.
Those riot girls.
Those are words I don't like to use on the radio for
the cat girls.
Although they do all the time. The cat girls.
The cat girls.
You're right.
Adolescent cat girls. Let's be as specific as we can without being specific.
Right, that's a great spot for a break. It's the Roundtable on WAMC, and we'll be back.
Support comes from Hampshire Veterinary Hospital, corner of University Drive and Route 9 in Amherst, Massachusetts. Doctors Katz and Purdy providing daily and on-call urgent veterinary care 24 hours every day. HampVet.com. Albany Institute of History and Art. Current exhibition, GE presents The Mystery of the Albany Mummies, featuring ancient artifacts, international loans, interactive displays, and ancient Egyptian shop. AlbanyInstitute.org. and the College of St. Rose offering a master's degree in communications with evening classes, open house Wednesday, January 8th at 6:30 p.m., strose.edu/grad.
Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. 9:22 is the time. Ray Graff in for the ailing Joe Donahue. Alan Chartok is here. Libby Post is here. And we welcome your emails at roundtable@wamc.org. You know, it's the end of the year. It's a time for introspection and quiet contemplation of things that have gone before. But not on this program. We're going to look straight ahead to 2014 and a fascinating six-point article by Julian Zelizer. And this was on, oh gosh, this goes probably back a week now. But he is a professor of history, and he wrote a couple of books, Jimmy Carter and Governing America. And this is from CNN.com. And we'll start this now. We'll probably pick it up after the news, because there are some six topics here that he says will be big questions for 2014. And I'll read you the first paragraph. After a contentious year, an embattled President Barack Obama and an unpopular Republican Party are each hoping for better things in 2014. Both parties leave Washington with many big issues unresolved and many battles ahead. It's time to consider what some of the big stories of 2014 may be. All right, my panel of two. I'll lay out the six.
Three.
All right, whatever. I'll lay out the six topics, and then you knock them down. All right, here we go.
Right.
As posed by Julian Zelizer. Will immigration reform fly in 2014?
Yes.
Libby.
Yes.
Well,
Alan.
Is that an answer? Yes.
But one-word answers are not going to help.
Oh, I thought you wanted to know. Okay,
no,
fine.
No. But I think Ray's point is that you have to fill a certain amount of time with.
Oh, okay. Yes, articles. Because the Republicans need to reach out to Hispanic voters, which we all know is the fastest-growing block of voters in this country, and they have alienated them beyond belief.
But the problem, of course, Libby, as you well know, is that the Republican strategists, the middle, understand this. The problem is that if you have 10% or 15% of basically party zealots voting in the...
goes to question number four.
Well, okay, all let right. me just finish here. Just goes into the primaries during this thing. Then there's this, congressman, and he is holding his finger up in the wind, seeing which way, you know, his survival is guaranteed. And he or she is worried that if they save the party, they lose the seat.
Right.
Is that, how does that sound to you?
I think you're right. I think that when you go into the primaries, they're going to be as right-wing as possible. And when they go into the general, they have to move in order to win.
You know, Jeb Bush has always been among the best of the people on the Hispanic question.
And
married to a Hispanic.
Right.
Hispanic, he for some reason, I've never understood the enigma of Jeb Bush, because he's the brightest of them.
We were talking last night, I was at a dinner party, and that he might end up being the nominee.
I don't think so.
I think that there is some Bush fatigue. I mean, that we've had a lot of Bush over the last...
Well, but they're the royal family of the Republicans, just as the Kennedys were with the Democrats. And the Cuomos are here, you know, in New York State. So I don't know. They won collectively three times. I don't know that they wouldn't win.
I'm not saying that it's right or wrong. I'm just saying that there is a perception that 12 years plus the years that George Sr. was vice president was enough for the electorate. I'm not saying it's right or wrong.
Here's the point. We don't know why the Republicans have turned their back on Jeb Bush, but they have.
But he doesn't. Has he publicly said he doesn't want to?
No,
to make that step?
No. It keeps getting raised. It keeps getting raised as a possibility. I'm telling you, I know who the candidate's going to be. It's going to be Chris Christie, and I know that he is doing his best to ameliorate the anti-Hispanic label that the Republicans get, and he got a huge number of Republican votes. But that's New Jersey in his...
Republican votes? Latino votes?
I'm so sorry. You're exactly right, and thank you for that.
That's all right.
Yeah, it's a little early. Of Latino votes. That's right, in the election. I think it was in excess of 60% or something. It was an incredible number.
But I do think that maybe you are premature in saying that Chris Christie will definitely be the. I mean, a lot can happen. We've seen it. We've seen front runners 1 week go to dogs 2 weeks later.
So when you say I think you may be wrong.
No, I'm not saying you are wrong because I don't know. No.
When you say you think I may be wrong,
that means you're part of the panel.
Are you part of the panel or not?
I'm just helping you. I'm facilitating you two and your discussion this
morning.
Well,
baloney. I mean, you are part of this panel.
All right. Fine.
Okay, let's go to number two.
All right. Thank you very much. Will Democrats, we only have about a minute here before the break, and we'll pick this up again. Will Democrats lose control of the Senate in 2014?
I hope not.
We'll start there, and we'll pick it up after the news.
You said, I hope not lose.
Yeah. Okay.
Alan, you're not allowed to say that, but what do you think?
What do I think?
Yeah.
As a political scientist?
Yeah.
It's a very good possibility.
Really?
Yeah. They're defending more seats than the other guys are. There's a piece in the Times yesterday about how the red states are getting redder and the blue states are getting bluer. Is there a good chance it all comes down, because people think they're voting the person as opposed to the party, it all comes down to the attractiveness of the candidates?
So give me your prediction. Give me your prediction now, and I know it's still early for this, but at the end of the day, at the end of Election Day, you think who will control the Senate?
I think the Democrats will lose a few seats, and they will still control the Senate. That's what I think.
Libby?
I think the Dems will prevail. They've got a much stronger, I think, campaign committee. They've got Chuck Schumer there doing his thing. And they've got the technology. The Republicans are still playing catch up with the technology.
I don't think Schumer is the
I thought he
head
was the,
anymore. He was.
Okay.
Last time out, and he did a terrific job.
Yeah, and they'd be smart to keep him there. Yeah. But
no, they got somebody else.
I think we'll end up holding on to the to the Senate. Us Democrats.
Aha! I see.
So you're a Democrat?
Oh, is that? Oh, you mean
no,
nobody
fine.
Knew
you're,
that?
You're
oh, sorry
to,
about
you're
that.
To,
but,
so you're allowed to say
yes,
who you are.
Yes,
okay,
I am.
Now this
I'm
is...
an independent myself.
Okay, fine.
I am.
Okay,
I'm
I believe you.
I'm a non-enrolled voter
in Massachusetts.
That means
no
I can,
party.
I get to take a ballot in either primary.
Okay. Right.
Well, now that we've sorted that out, we're going to take a break here. We'll take some news, and then we'll go back to this list of six questions for 2014. You are listening. Oh, by the way, email us, please. Alan will read them if they're not dirty. Roundtable@wamc.org. Roundtable@wamc.org. You are listening to The Roundtable. Welcome back to The Roundtable on WAMC. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. 9:36 is the time. We're in our panel discussion, about halfway home here. Libby Post is here. Alan Chartok is here. You can email us at roundtable@wamc.org if something upsets you or you want to weigh in on a topic. And Alan, I think you have something in the former category.
Yeah, I do. I do, but I don't know how to work this thing very well.
Oh, you just read it to me.
I know, but then, okay.
Okay.
Here it is from Dennis.
No.
Your adolescent dancing around, saying the name, whatever, Riot.
Well, you can say it.
Well, I'm not going to say it. I don't care if he yells. I mean, I don't
Pussy
care
Riot.
Who he is.
It's a kitty cat.
You
Pussy
said
Riot.
It. Okay.
Okay.
Was unnecessary, childish, and just plain idiotic.
Okay.
It drew more attention to the name of the group than to the surrounding facts around the troubling story of civil rights and in Russia, which we certainly have handled and handled at great length this morning, Dennis.
All right.
Then he uses a euphemism, which I'm not going to read on the thing. About the name is insulting and does your audience a great disservice. I don't agree with you, Dennis,
okay.
But we'll read your silly message.
Well, no, it wasn't a silly message. And Dennis, we appreciate you emailing us. It's roundtable@wamc.org. We certainly don't want to upset Dennis, who has a valid.
Well, how about upsetting me?
Oh. Yeah.
Libby, you don't mind if Alan is upset?
He's really not upset.
Okay. And we move on to back to what we had been discussing prior to the news, and that's a piece that came out last week on CNN.com. Six questions for 2014. This is by Julian Zelizer, who is a professor of history at Princeton and author of a couple of books, at least, Jimmy Carter and Governing America. And he had brought up six questions for the coming year. And we discussed, will immigration reform fly? Both of our panelists this morning think so. Will Democrats lose control of the Senate? Alan says no. Libby also says no. And we got.
But I did say it was going to get closer.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we get on to question number three, and this is in boldface, a rare chance to reform the NSA, changing the way that our national security institutions work has proven to be a near impossibility. In the wake of Snowden and Assange and all else, is this a year where the NSA changes, or does it even need to be changed? Alan, first.
There will be a cosmetic change. There's no two ways about it. The president knows this is a very tough one for Americans. They treasure their freedom, and yet they also treasure their safety. So will he do away with the NSA? Will it be really much more than cosmetic? I suspect not. I think this is going to continue the way that it has been, and it probably in some ways will get worse.
It'll be changed by spin.
What do you mean by spin?
It'll just be spun that we've made some changes. Yeah. You know, the talking heads will be out there. Oh, yes, yes, yes. But I don't think they're going to make many changes. It's intransigent. The whole intelligence community is just intransigent, and they are committed to operating the way they operate because that's the only way they think they can.
Now, President Obama, in his year-end press conference, he was very emphatic that there is no evidence that the NSA used this information inappropriately. In fact, he has been a pretty staunch defender, and I think once you are in that Oval Office, you learn your eyes are open to things you and I, Alan, Libby,
absolutely,
you at home, never knew existed. But, and he's been pretty staunchly defending it.
But you know what, Ray? That's true, except that what bothers me about the whole deal, I've been teaching politics all my life. I've been preaching the virtues of democracy. And yet, we cannot make decisions as a voting population unless we know what's going on. And it's clear that without Assange, without each of these revelations, we would not have known about NSA. We wouldn't have known about what's happening now. Now, you're right. Obama has been saying that we need this or implying that we need it. My question is the tail wagging the dog at this point? In other words, have we got to the point now where 1984 is upon us and the intelligence community basically has the whatevers to say, without us, you'd all be dead. And there'll be a lot of people who will believe that.
And with good reason, yes? I mean, there are threats that...
Do you want to give up your rights in order? So, look...
But are we giving up our rights?
I have pointed out, Ray, again and again, that we didn't know the wall was coming down. We didn't know it was the end of communism. And now they've got to tap people's phone records in order to justify their existence. I don't think
so. Okay, so you are then on record then, if I understand your point, as saying what the president said was in fact, that there is no evidence at all that he has seen, and presumably he's seen the evidence, that the NSA has improperly used any of this stuff that they gather in as a matter of course. So in other words, are you saying the president is not telling us the truth?
No, I'm saying I don't know. I am saying that the president meets with his security people every morning, I'm sure, and they tell him what they want to tell him. I think it's a mess because in order to have a democracy, do you have to give up your basic rights? Bothers me a lot.
Libby.
Does anybody watch Scandal? Watch Scandal?
I have no idea.
Do you watch Scandal?
No, you know what it is.
Okay. Oh, it's a show with Kerry Washington there's this whole ongoing storyline about her father, who's the head of this ultra secret NSA type, deep in the basement of the CIA building operation, where, you know, he's made it very clear he's more powerful than the president, you know, and that he really is calling the shots. And I think that there's some, not that that's absolutely true, but I think that there's some validity here, that there are things that go on that we will never know about, that maybe the president doesn't even know about, in terms of how our surveillance, our, you know, espionage and our spying operations work. And I'm not saying that it's right or wrong. I'm saying that's the culture.
And
changing that culture is going to be incredibly difficult because these guys, and they're mostly guys, are really invested in what they have built because they think that they're protecting democracy mm-hmm. by the work that they're doing, that you and I wouldn't be able to even vote, let alone know what we're voting on, if it wasn't for the work that they're doing.
We don't have to know what we're voting on because we don't know anything. That's the problem. So now you get these
horse
races.
Well, we know some things.
Well, you get horse races. Well, okay, I'll give you an example. Do we know what the difference between George Bush and Barack Obama are on NSA spying?
No, we don't. Okay. We don't know that.
So it would seem what we have.
And we'll never know.
Is that, well, I see. I don't agree with that. I think we will eventually know. But it'll take years and years.
20 years.
So, for example, maybe 50. So, for example, we now know that, J. Edgar Hoover mm-hmm. had tremendous sway over presidents of the United States. Otherwise, he would have long been out of there.
Right, because
we know Bobby Kennedy hated
his
guts. We know all of that. All of that has come out mm-hmm. Now. And here was J. Edgar with a recorder under Martin Luther King's bed so that if he had some dalliance, Hoover would know it. And the fact that he kept all of these records about all of these guys and about all of us. For years, I have not gone... done what everybody else did to look at my FBI.
It's probably totally full redacted.
Well, it could be. You know, I once went out with a girl whose father was the head of TASS in the United States.
Oh boy!
And I think that would have done it right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're on the list.
I met her at the Walden School, where I was playing a dance, and that's right. I think I've told the story, but. She threw me over because she said I was nothing but a Trotskyite.
Yeah. I mean, which is pretty clear.
She was a Stalinist, of course.
She was, of course.
Yeah, so that wasn't going to work.
You better believe it.
It's the roundtable, oddly enough, on WAMC. And we move on this list here, and we'll move it along. It's the six questions for 2014 from CNN.com. Who will win the Republican Civil War? Alan, first of all, put it in perspective for us, what the Civil War is.
Well, the Civil War, as I mentioned before, is between the true believers who have a vision of what America should be, which is not redistributive, not giving money to those people who need it, or who don't have health care or the rest of it, but keeping it quite simple. Those people organize themselves into groups like the Tea Party and others, and then they come out and they vote in primaries. Primaries are ill attended by most people. And if we get a 10 or 15% turnout, remember in a presidential election, which is our most turned out election, in the actual election, it's only 50%, about 50%. So when you get a 15% turnout and it's hardcore, conservative Republican values, that's the Civil War. Then there's the middle of the Republican Party who bring it back towards centrist politics where the Republicans can actually start to win elections. Now, we saw in the Times yesterday this very interesting story about how the red states were getting redder. Are we going to go there somewhere else? And the blue states
we
were getting
redder. We go where
bluer.
You want to go. Okay. You're driving a bus.
Okay, no, I just wanted to say that's because, let's say you're in Texas and you elect, and Texans are now pretty Republican. So they elect a Republican legislature. They don't even wait for the every 10-year reapportionment to come up. They just knock every congressman out of the box, and which is what they did.
All right, so a few.
So that again brings you back to the Civil War, I think, because now we're going to have red states and blue states, and they're going to be very red and very blue.
Okay, so to the question, and specifically pointing to 2014, you have Boehner, who's pretty much calling out the hard right, saying, "Hey, listen, you've lost credibility. It's not flying." So there's pushback. In your estimation, and again, we're only predicting here. Neither of you, as far as I know, are Nostradamus and can't predict the future. However, who holds sway the day after the 14 elections? The hard right or the more centrist Republicans?
Well, if you have a guy like Boehner who is fighting back and his lieutenants who are fighting back, And Ryan, who was talking about, losing his cool and everybody losing their cool because of, you know, the threats from the Tea Party. I think you have a recognition on the part of the Republican establishment that the folks who are doing their threatening at the polls and in the primaries can't be listened to, because otherwise, as it has been expressed on this program many times, the Republican Party will become the Whigs. They'll go out of existence. And so you get the guys, the professional politicians, who are saying, uh-oh, this thing has really gotten out of hand. And if it continues, the Democrats are going to take the whole pot.
I think the Tea Party is going to win the Civil War.
Do you?
Interesting. Yes, Interesting. I do, because of what you talked about. It's about the primaries. And I think they're going to win the Civil War, but they're going to lose the overall war.
Well, you know, the Democrats are praying that they win.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the fact that, you know, Boehner and all these guys, they're coming a little too late to this Let's Save the GOP Party. You know, they ostracized Jim Huntsman during the presidential campaign. He was saying this 2 to 3 years ago. You know, the big money, sort of the chambers of commerce are starting to look at John Boehner and his politics as a little more rational. But you have the Koch brothers who are still fueling the Tea Party folks. Yep. And when it comes down to 10 to 15% of the electorate voting in the primaries, we know that they are motivated voters and they're going to win the primaries.
All right. That's a great way. We're going to take a short break here. We'll read an email and then we'll... We'll wrap up with a question on Obamacare, and then we'll talk about gluttony. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Support comes from Ashfield Stone, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts. Quarry and fabrication, used for enduring landscapes and interiors, including countertops and floor planking. Rare and wonderful native stone of the Berkshires, ashfieldstone.com. MPAC, providing the Capital Region with a full schedule of cultural events, including performances, screenings, talks, concerts, and more. mpac.rpi.edu. And Home Plate Deli and Caterers Kingston, specializing in delivery and setup throughout the Hudson Valley, catering breakfast, lunch, dinner, and business and personal events. HomePlateDeli.com.
It's a Monday. It's 9:51. It's the Roundtable on WAMC. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. Alan Shartok is here. Libby Post is here. And we're in the home stretch of this morning's panel. And Alan, we have something that came in via Roundtable at WAMC.org.
Okay. Greg says, good morning.
Good morning, Greg.
With the issue of the NSA is the same issue where folks were speaking about previously in regards to Russia's security problems. Americans need to realize and accept that they are never safe and need to stop eroding our own rights for the sake of safety. That is purely a dream. Our government is turning into the security state that everyone is afraid of, but people are more than afraid of a perceived threat than the real threat. Okay, gotcha.
Okay, good.
Okay,
thank
good
you.
For you. I didn't read the whole thing, but only because we're running out of time.
Yes, we are.
From Jeffrey, good morning, insightful roundtable panelists, parentheses, and Alan.
Oh, ouch, that was
a
shot.
Goodness. One, like many of my Democratic friends, I consider myself a social liberal and a fiscal conservative. Until the party recognizes we are the base, they need to help. They need to keep content. Their success will always be fleeting and local, much like the Tea Party's for the Republicans. Two, I am no fan of Senator Schumer. He's firmly in the pockets of the downstate financial world, and I blame him personally, or at least in part, the excesses that led to the recession. He's trying to fill the shoes of Teddy Kennedy. But in my opinion, rather unsuccessfully, regards Jeff Klein.
Jeff, we appreciate that.
Jeff Klein?
Roundtable at WAMC.
Yeah, different one, I think.
.org.
Okay, Eric, just because the data isn't being misused today doesn't mean it won't be misused tomorrow.
All right, that's a point.
Eric, and is anybody else?
Just don't read the spam.
Esteemed panel. Okay, here's another one. Okay. This thing is, he's esteemed from Carolyn, esteemed panel, Malcolm Gladwell in his latest book, David and Goliath, speaks about this very issue, our ability to predict courageous behavior and why some people demonstrate that courage is... that courage, despite our fears, he discusses not only in the context of predicting how David would defeat Goliath, a traditional and misunderstood military match of the very mobile slinger and the armored and immobile giant, but also in the behavior of Londoners during the Blitz and like that. Read the book. It's very upsetting. Okay.
Yeah.
So, okay. And then that seems
good.
To be it.
Good. Otherwise, the show will be over.
Mattman, all right. So intimate, second day, just you three, or is it two plus Ray? attraction politics. Fat vote Christie versus Clinton fatigue. Hillary could be boring. Let's get the third party going. Maybe we could get Snowden to dress. Okay, here we go.
All right. Are we done now? Can we move on?
Yes.
All right, very good. Last question from this CNN piece, six questions for 2014. Actually, the second to last, but we'll call this the last. And I'll leave this to you, Libby.
Yes.
And Alan, Libby first. Will Obamacare flourish or fail 2014?
Flourish. You know, a million people have signed up in the month of December. It's clear people want this. It's clear that people need to have health care. I think that all the problems of this, some people will continue to try to bring it up, but as the site is working and functioning and more people are signing up, you know, the failure of this, initial failure of this will fade. You know, somebody wrote recently about how sometimes it takes years and years and years for government contractors to get the bombs that they build for us correct and the airplanes they build for us correct. And we expected everything to be correct with Obama, with the site immediately. But I think it's going to flourish. I think more people are going to join and we're going to see more people get coverage and we're going to have a healthier nation.
Well, I think Obama himself has admitted they blew it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
they did
blow it. Okay.
I think it only flourishes if prices come down. Right now, we won't know for a while.
But, you know, this was not health care reform. It was health insurance reform, and they're still running the show.
How many million Americans are there? 300 million, something like that? What is it? Does anybody know?
Around there.
Yeah, there were 47 million who were uninsured. And that's the number you have to look at.
Well, you also have those whose premiums or deductibles are going to go way up.
That's the other thing. Yeah.
There's no reason for them to go up. That's the thing. It's just the product of capitalism. It's a false reality for the insurance companies. They're making out like a banner.
All right. Let's switch gears here and go to a poll. Alan, I'll give you a couple minutes to get on your high horse. Poll: never say diet even after holiday indulgence. A CNN ORC international poll released Friday reveals that the majority of adult Americans opt not to hold back from holiday foods to stave off weight gain and instead enjoy the season's treats. According to the survey, 53% of respondents say they'll indulge and eat what they want because it's a special time of year. That's a gain of 6 points over a 2006 poll and an exact match to the mindset of 1996. Alan, are we all going to hell in a handbag?
We are, and I'm right there in the lead.
Really?
I have eaten too much over this time. I've gained 4 or 5 pounds, 5 or 6 pounds, and 6 or 7 pounds.
You look marvelous.
It's time to. I saw a picture of my twin brother the other day, and he looks much better than me. It's upset me greatly.
It's always been that way, hasn't it?
It has.
Yeah, I know. 30 years you've been talking about this.
30 years? I mean, I'm 72.
For as long as I've known you.
He's also 72.
Ah. So, Libby, I mean, what's your take on this?
Well, I've eaten way too much, but I'm also gone back to the gym. I think I'm not surprised that people are eating the way they want to eat during the holiday season. It's 6 weeks of, you know, nonstop between Thanksgiving and the end of the year. And
are you okay with that?
Philosophically,
you know, everybody's an adult and they have to make their own decisions. That's my thing. And I'm trying to make some better decisions. How's that after the first of the year?
You fall in with your Democratic colleagues.
Yeah.
The survey also broke down data into political affiliations and geographic locations. Republicans and Midwesterners are the group most actively attempting to refrain from excess eating, 41% during the holiday season. Democrats and rural dwellers were the least likely to set up such limits.
What do you make of that, Ray?
Well, you're the political scientist and also the diet nut. So why don't you have the last word here?
But you're given over to hedonism every once in a while, aren't you?
You know, I'm not a big holiday. You know, I try to keep it at an even keel.
You know, I work out. Libby mentioned this. I work out twice a day now, an hour in the morning, and then I take a walk. You know, at night I walked in the rain last night.
Did you really?
Yeah. Wow. And I'm doing it, but I don't think exercise is the answer. I think exercise just keeps you sort of current, but that's a myth.
Clearly, exercise is the answer.
It's about what you put in, and when you put in a lot of calories, and then you're like me, a couch potato, you know, it all adds up.
But I can't let this go. I mean, you just said, I don't think exercise. Of course, exercise is the answer. It increases your metabolism. You're the guy who exercises.
Oh, well, I exercise twice a day.
It increases your metabolism.
What I was trying to say is I'm not losing weight. The way to lose weight is, as Libby said, stop eating.
or eat better.
Or eat different.
Eat differently.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Well, you're both wrong. Eat and enjoy. Life is short. Have yourself a good
holiday
season.
But life will be
even
shorter.
But you're the expert.
I wish it was a little shorter. All right. That's it for this hour of the Roundtable. Libby and Alan, thanks for being here. Email us at roundtable@wamc.org. More to come.